fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
It is the day of the week, named after the Norse god of thunder, Thor. And on this Thor's Day, we are continuing to get hit by the lightning bolts of scandal caused by our country allowing itself to be duped once again by our prevaricator-in-chief. Listen up, folks. The American adversaries are here at Drive Time to clarify the fog of misinformation. I'm Lair Adams on News Talk 660 WORL, and I have a possible solution for the NSA conundrum. The one where we need as much information as possible, and Americans need as much privacy as they deserve. Now, many are calling this problem warrantless wiretapping. Now, not warrantless as in unnecessary, but as in no warrant was obtained from a judge. Now, I think therein is the problem. Now, as long as that extra step is involved, i.e., providing plausible suspicion, well, hey, they've been able to do that for a long time. Now, speaking of warrants, there is a warrant out for my co-host for spreading the truth, Christopher Hart.
I wish you wouldn't say that. Somebody will try to turn me in for the reward.
All right. His Social Security number is...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for being part of our show this afternoon. We want to welcome you to our listening audience. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are live. That phone number is 407-774-8255. If you would like to call in and be a part of today's show, and we welcome you to do that. It's going to be a very special show indeed, because we have a house full of very special guests. And so let me just go around the table here and introduce everybody. I'm Christopher Hart. That other voice you just heard was my co-host Lair Adams. And sitting next to Lair Adams is Dr. Jonathan Matusitz, who is Associate Professor of Communications at UCF. Welcome back to our show, Dr. Matusitz.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Lair.
And we'll be talking about the Islamic threat and some new interesting news relating to the NSA and the Islamic threat that we're going to talk about with Dr. Matusitz. And he has another presentation tomorrow that you might want to catch that we'll tell you about as well. And across the table from him and sitting next to me is our dear friend and our regular on every month. Normally we do him toward the end of the month, the last Thursday of the month, but he's already booked up. This man does more traveling than Barack Obama just about. Is, of course, our dear friend, as I said, Colonel Danny McKnight. Welcome back to our show, Colonel McKnight.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Laura. Nice to be with you all, as always.
Tell us, you spend less time on the golf course than President Obama, right?
Unfortunately, probably yes.
Oh, okay.
And I don't travel really as much as he. And I travel a lot, but who can travel that much,
you can keep up with it.
I hear your game is better, though.
Yeah, well we kind of, I think we're figuring out why he spends so much time out of the White House, but that's for another day. And sitting in the studio watching is Nick and Katie and Linda. Colonel McKnight's family, want to welcome everybody over here, and we're going to be having a great dinner this evening as well. Okay, folks, Dr. Matusitz is going to be giving another presentation tomorrow. It's going to be at a restaurant called Tommy Addison's, and that's on South Orange Avenue between Michigan and Holden. It'll be at 11:30 a.m., and I want to thank everybody who came out to, what's the name of the grill? the grill that's across the street from the Orlando Regional Medical Center, where you gave
the Doc's Street Side Grill.
Yeah, the Street Side Doc's Street Side Grill. I want to thank everybody who came out. I understand it was a very nice turnout that evening, and this is a very important subject. You know, one of the things that I said about the NSA that made me uncomfortable the other night was in light of what was going on with the IRS, for instance. It's not so much that the government is collecting this data, it's but who's going to be looking at it, and who is going to be looking at what are they going to be looking at too. And I said at that time, and I didn't know how prescient this was, but that, you know, as far as I know, they say they only are using this to investigate terrorism, quote unquote. Well, what do they mean by terrorists? Are they talking about the Tea Party? Are they talking about people who oppose abortion? Are they talking about returning Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans? Because these are groups Janet Napolitano has singled out. Well, lo and behold, Investors Business Daily has written an article, and it talks about the NSA snooping. And it doesn't talk so much about who they are snooping on, but it talks about who they are not snooping on. They are not snooping on mosques inside the United States of America. I want to ask.
They're forbidden, aren't they?
They are forbidden. Well, the federal government has forbidden the FBI and the NSA, and when I say the federal government, I mean the Barack Obama administration, is forbidding these people to get insiders, get undercover agents in the mosque, which they were doing, and monitor these mosques because the mosques were complaining about this activity. And along with the ACLU, a group called CARE, who you've talked about on the show, Dr. Massachusetts, sued the FBI. And so now, and when we had Billy Allman on the show mm-hmm. the other day, he mentioned this. I think you asked him the question, Lair, about has the NSA, have their training manuals been purged of words like Islamic terrorism and such as that? And he said, oh, yes, they have. So I want to ask both of you gentlemen, does this make much sense to you? And do you find this to be troubling that they're not looking where you would think you would find the terrorists?
Yeah, where's the targeting?
Dr. Massachusetts, you
part
first.
Of the problem is that groups like CARE and ISNA, which are two groups of the Muslim Brotherhood, have tremendous power and influence, and they're able to tell the government what to do. And like you said, the words terrorism and Islam cannot be used in the same sentence anymore. So
not
slowly
even
but progressively, they're just making strides into our cultural system, and they're trying to remove all documents that are too hostile to Islam, even though we're speaking the truth, and no more mosques can be investigated, so they're not under surveillance anymore, because these groups have so much power.
Real quickly, and then I want to go to Colonel Danny McKnight. It's been reported that there is something like 60 or 70% of these mosques actually have and or preach anti-American Islamic radicalism. Do you feel that that is true? I'm talking about mosques inside the United States.
Yes, I don't know the exact percentage of anti-American mosques. I'm sure there are a lot of them. In addition to preaching anti-Americanism and an Islamization of the United States, they're also preaching a de-Americanization of the United States and just anti-Semitism.
And but real quickly, I'll give you open. But, you know, Tom Tillison pointed out on our show the other day that this fancy, you know, data mining project failed to get the Boston bombers. Now, this was already implemented when that all went down. And one of the reasons why is they couldn't monitor the mosque where the older brother was being indoctrinated, so to speak. So here we're being told that this project is to prevent terrorism, and yet it is doing anything but that.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's two opposing points here. You're going after a certain group of people that you know are the terrorists. Now you're told you're not. So your backdoor way is to investigate every human being that's in the rest of the country that's not of their particular faith.
I'm sorry, that was my phone.
It's a chicken or
Colonel
something.
Colonel McKnight, how do you think a vet would feel if he comes back to this country and sees that his government sees him as a bigger threat than the people he was just fighting overseas?
I don't know there's words to describe how they would feel after they've been over there doing what they've been doing, fighting terrorism, fighting Taliban, Al-Qaeda, et cetera, and they come back home and they find that they could be monitored more so than somebody, the kind of people they've been fighting. And they could be.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you hear it all the time. We really have to, we've seen it stated, we have to worry about our soldiers, those coming back, because maybe they're the ones that we should fear more because of their mental state than it is the people they've been fighting over there. And they've actually made that kind of statement. How do you think that makes soldiers feel, the men and women that have served over there and, you know, lost limbs and given their life?
Let me ask you about the point I made in my opening. They've been collecting information on the average American to some extent for years. What about having, if they do have this information, at least having a process of a warrant, going back to where you have to say, look, we're suspicious because of this, and a judge has to back it up. It's that extra step, as opposed to just spying on everybody and taking every bit of information, and down the road basically saying, oops, I thought I would ask for forgiveness rather than ask for permission.
I mean, isn't that the basis for justice right there? Yeah, that's really what you just stated. You need to have a reason to do something. And the reason should be stated in a warrant, et cetera.
And
they're not doing
that. Justice. That word you used, justice.
Yeah.
That was it.
And see, and that's a simple thing. This is sort of like it's coming out of left field because somebody wants to sort of turn the coin. And the doctor said it. We don't realize. Yeah, we do realize it. Islam is an issue. It is a danger to our country. And it's not people going to the Baptist church, you know. It's people going to the mosque and doing what they're doing, but we're not going to worry about what's going on in there, but we're going to worry about what's going on in other places where Americans are at, real Americans are at.
And we're going to trust someone else to say who they're going to pick and choose.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I look at it this way, sitting in this room is this great, of course, little cutout over here of Ronald Reagan. Do you think Ronald Reagan would have worried about the gathering of Americans or the gathering of Muslims at a mosque?
He would have profiled.
Yeah, yeah, he would have done the hard right thing versus doing this politically correct
thing. Like the Israelis who do it right.
Yeah.
One of the leaders of CARE in Dallas said that, and I will quote him, if we are to be true practicing Muslims, we have to be above the law of the land. What does that tell you?
And let me ask you this. And another concern I had about the NSA, I said, this whistleblower, whether you want to consider him a hero or, you know, a goat, it doesn't matter. That's beside the point. What he points out to us is that people who don't have the highest morals and the highest forms of discipline can get access to this information. I want to put the question to you directly, Dr. Massachusetts. Do you think that there are people in the Muslim Brotherhood that are in the NSA or one of the thousands of vendors that services the NSA and perhaps has access to this
There's
data?
No question. Yes. There are, I mean, they hold key positions in most federal agencies like the NSA, just the Pentagon, the Justice Department, NASA, the Department of Homeland Security. There's no question.
Colonel McKnight, is there any more effective tool, if you will, to disrupt a military and its morale than the infiltrator?
Oh, no. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at some of the things that happened in Iraq. We had American soldiers who were Muslims, and what did they do? They killed our own soldiers.
Right.
Did that not disrupt and cause a problem with morale and everything else? You bet it did. What about this soldier that killed
Hassan.
Soldier, yeah, that's Hassan. What I call him. Sorry, I'm using that word really, but in Fort Hood, what did he do? He disrupted a whole installation and the military as a whole by what he did.
This is my point here, and I'll get back to you, Dr. Massachusetts. Is we are allowing these people to be put in positions where they can do the most harm to us, the most harm, and that's what Colonel McKnight is saying.
Fox in the hen house
from the inside, exactly, and we are purposely putting these people there. It's just insanity, and that's basically where this IBD article is going, and Investor's Business Daily. And you mentioned Hassan. Have you been keeping up with the trial? he's going to represent himself. He's going pro bono. Okay, he's going to represent himself. The judge is going to allow it. There'll be lawyers sitting there, you know, at his beck and call if should he need him. But his defense is most interesting to me. Have you seen his defense? His defense is, I was protecting Afghani soldiers that these people were getting ready to be deployed. American soldiers were getting ready to be deployed to go over there and kill and fight. So he, in his own defense, has betrayed the Obama's classification of his act of violence as workplace violence. His defense is, it was an act of war. I was committing an act of war. That's his defense. And yet this idiotic president still would have us believe that it was workplace violence. They know the threat is there. This is what is scary to me. It is either this administration is in cahoots or just so utterly careless.
Well, Chris, they just rewarded him for not shooting up people in a movie theater. Hey, go ahead and do it in your workplace. Folks, we're the American Adversaries, and we'll be back with more.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true. True Italian food, e lo prometto.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, co-host of the American Adversaries. You know, during the day, I'm a contractor here in Central Florida. That's what I do for work. But what I do on the radio, well, the American Adversaries is my mission. We've got a great audience, and I wanted to take a minute to speak directly to those of you who believe in our mission. We are looking for a select group of category-exclusive sponsors to support this show. There are several different levels of sponsorships, so it can be very affordable, and you'll get great results just like our friend Pasquale from Cafe Positano's. Heck, we'll even name our studio after your business if you want. If you own or run a business in Central Florida and believe in the American Adversaries' mission, give me a call to see if you qualify. If you're interested in learning more, my number is 407-435-4613. If I'm on the air when you call, just leave your name and number. I'm Christopher Hart. American Adversaries is my mission. I hope you'll make it part of yours, too.
Ho! Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
And away we go. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Christopher Hart and Lair Adams, your co-hosts here tonight. And in the studio along with us, we have Dr. Jonathan Matusitz from UCF's School of Communications. And he teaches a class called Terrorism and Communication. Well, welcome back to our show, Dr. Matusitz.
Thank you.
And we also have Colonel Danny McKnight, our dear friend, who's with us on a monthly basis now. Once again, welcome back to the show to you as well, Colonel McKnight.
Happy to be here.
And before we get back, just real quickly, folks, Dr. Matusitz is speaking once again tomorrow about the Islamic threat at Tommy Addison's. That's a restaurant on South Orange Avenue between Michigan and Holden, and that's going to be for the Women's Republicans Club. It'll be at 11:30 a.m. The presentation is free, but your lunch is on you. It's Dutch treat. So that's 11:30 a.m. at Tommy Addison's on South Orange Avenue, Women's Republican Club. And once again, I want to thank everybody who has been coming out, because one of the solutions that you talk about in your DVDs is, first of all, know the threat, and then spread the word, basically.
But to get people to care.
Exactly, that's right.
And it's not propaganda. That's what so many people that are on the other side try to label it, and it's the truth. No, that's all you're doing is giving out facts.
That's factual, and
that's what
based
we're doing
on facts and statistics. Okay, and can you refute that?
Exactly. And speaking of facts, Colonel McKnight, you pointed out that not only did Hassan say in his defense argument so far that it was an act of war, that he was protecting Afghan people that the American soldiers were going to kill in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, but he specifically said...
He used the word that he wanted to protect his Taliban brothers over there from dying at the hands of American soldiers. Now, that ain't workplace violence. That's terrorism. That is plain and simple. And for him to even get a trial is ridiculous. So you've got a firing squad is what we should get for him.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, he did use the words Al-Akbar.
Yes.
Shooting all that. Now, so I'm to understand that he's not Rastafarian.
No.
No, he's not. He's not probably Jewish. He's probably not
Dr.
Methodist.
Dr. Matusetts. Dr. Matusetts. It doesn't take a lot of infiltrators, or it doesn't take a lot of actually even people in a society to change the direction of the leadership. In your DVD, and you've got three excellent DVDs, one's called Women in Islam, one's called The Muslim Brotherhood, the other's called Islamic Threat to America. I know in the one on Women in Islam, you say that it only takes 10% of a population to begin the process to really change policy.
That's correct. According to social network theory, if 10% of the population holds an unshakable belief, then the movement will spread like wildfire. And it's based on a study that was conducted in 2011 by Rensselaer University in New York. All you need is 10%. This is how the Arab Spring spread like wildfire. It started with a few people on Facebook, and then everybody was jumping on the bandwagon.
I dare say that it's what's happened with gay marriage as well, right? Gay marriage could be an example of this as well. A very small percentage of the population was adamantly for this, and now it looks like it may become the law of the land.
Yes, and blame the media for that. Yep.
Yeah. Folks, we're going to have to go to the break. This is a hard break, so we can't move it. But when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Matusetts and Colonel Danny McKnight. And once again, you're welcome to call in as well. 407-774-8255 is the number.
All right, that's right. And folks, a little bit later on, we will be going out to Cafe Positano's, the best Italian food on the planet Earth. So you may want to think about that, too. Where are the American adversaries? Here Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 o'clock. Sunday night, 5 to 8. You'll be sure to want to join us.
From his beautiful seaside hometown of Positano, Italy, Chef Pasquale Barber brings his exclusive family recipes to Central Florida and Cafe Positano. Whether you're looking for true Italian pizza and calzone, or their mouth-watering special dishes and elegant dining at an affordable price, let Cafe Positano show you why food is not a business, but a passion. Cafe Positano is 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. Call 407-774-8080. Pasquale?
I want to thank you everybody to come to Cafe Positano.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like Bahama cruises from $189 per person. Alaska 7-night cruises from $279 per person. Plus, kids sail free on select dates. 7-night Hawaii cruises from $1249 per person. Plus, ask about pre- and post-hotel stays. Princess welcomes its newest ship, the Royal Princess, doing 7-night Eastern Caribbean from $654 per person. Book a balcony or above on Royal Caribbean and receive a complimentary dinner for two. Plus, receive free prepaid gratuities when you book by June 30th. What's your cruisitude? Now through June 18th, visit our website or Facebook page to be entered to win $1,000 toward a future vacation. Just tell us where you'd like to go. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of Otter Pig. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Tribe Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bye!
Okay, folks, welcome back. That's right. This is the American Adversaries, and we are live. And I have in the studio with me once again tonight Dr. Jonathan Matusetts, professor of Islam and the Islamic threat to the United States from UCF with us tonight. Dr. Matusetts, thanks again for being here. And our dear friend Colonel Danny McKnight, who's a monthly regular on our show now. Thanks again, once again, for you being here tonight, Colonel McKnight.
And real quick, Chris, I'm going to interrupt, but tomorrow, Tommy Addison's, that's the Women's Republican Club you're going to be speaking at, right, Professor?
Yes.
That's 11:30. Now, is
11:30
it only
a.m.
Is it only open for women?
No, anybody can go as long as they pay their lunch, and it will be on the treatment of women in Islam, and I'll be talking about the Islamic threat to America as well.
Yes. Okay, I want to continue the conversation we're having. First of all, you talk about there's this sort of 10% threshold in any given society. If 10% are adamantly in belief of some particular moral or moray, that it can sway the society in that direction. You say that's what Islam is aiming for. There are a number of European countries, Germany, Belgium, England, France, who must be already close to, if not have broken through that 10% threshold. Is that the case?
It's the case in France. In France, it's close to 8 million people, which means that in France, there's one chance out of 8 to bump into a Muslim. In the United States, it's one chance out of 120.
Yeah, so we're a long way yet. But
yes, but
they're
but
working on
we're a long
our,
way, but they're holding key positions in power.
Our government. Right. Exactly.
Well, let him give that statistic about Germany, Chris. To me, that was scary.
And you said that there were some projections about Germany.
Yeah, the German government came out recently.
This is their figures.
Yes, came out recently admitting that by 2050, in less than 40 years, Germany will be an Islamic republic.
And Colonel McKnight, do you think that these things will lead to NATO being severely weakened, if not broken apart? And for instance, look what's going on in Turkey right now. You have the Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan, yeah, who wants to take the country in more of an Islamic direction. But you have a lot of Europeanized, if you will, Turks who don't want to go in that direction. Do you see this as undermining NATO?
Well, I mean, I think it almost has to be an undermining when you think about what NATO exists for. It's to, you know, foster freedom, and, you know,
it's more than just a military alliance.
Exactly, yeah. It's not just a military alliance. Yeah, that's a big part of it, but it's a political alliance, too. Well, how is that political alliance going to be fostered as they want it to be, which is, you know, freedom and security and all of those things, when you're going to have a, you know, the Muslim country that wasn't Muslim, France, becomes Muslim, Germany becomes Muslim. I mean, how's that going to fit into an organization that's supposed to foster freedom and security and safety for people? It's not going to work because those are opposite extremes right there.
And the second largest army in NATO is Turkey, the Turkish army.
In NATO. Well, and to your point, your discussion tomorrow about women in the Islamic, the situation that they're going to be put in these countries. All of a sudden, these women that have been used to freedom, they're going to be under Sharia law and other things. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to have to put up with it.
In a country like France, which is traditionally a Catholic country, polygamy had always been illegal, right, by law.
Sure.
But now they have so many Muslim families who are willing to follow Sharia, which means Islamic law, that France alone has 30,000 polygamous families. And for every child born in a Muslim family, in a polygamous family, the family gets child allowances. In fact,
they're rewarded.
Let's move from France to Britain. The British Parliament passed a law in Britain giving child allowances for every child born in a Muslim family. So if you have four wives and 16 children, they're all getting child allowances. So it's actually reverse discrimination against non-Muslim families.
Well, I guess if the radio business doesn't work out for us, Lair, at least there'll be something we can go to, right? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, how do you go in the gigolo business anyway?
It's unconscionable.
It is. It's exactly that. But Colonel McKnight, would you rather face a foe that you can see on a battlefield, and yeah, he's over there shooting machine guns and launching mortars at you, or would you rather face a foe that you can't see, for instance, who is in our government? I mean, which is easier to combat?
Oh, I can shoot people better if I know who they are.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
To answer, I mean, it's just simple. Yeah, the people you can face and fight, and you know you got to fight them,
right,
that's okay. But when you got this other stuff going on, trying to be subversive and try to overthrow you, and you know, that's awful.
And it really does get back to political correctness, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, because if it were not for political correctness, perhaps we might be a little bit more discriminating as to who we hire into our federal government.
Political correctness means freedom of speech restriction, right? Well, it's cultural Marxism.
Well, and Chris, doesn't that actually pull us in to what was the discussion you talked about on our show previously, where Muslims, they're supposed to lie. They're supposed to draw people in and gain their trust.
You said there's actually there was a word for that.
If it's a true Muslim who understands the Quran and the Muslim doctrine, yes, they're supposed to follow taqiyya, T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, taqiyya. And if you open the Quran, chapter 5, verse 51, do not take Jews and Christians for your friends. Chapter 3, verse 28 is a similar quote.
And Colonel McKnight, you know where political correctness leads us. I mean, that was part of the debacle in Somalia, is that political correctness corrupted that mission. Is that fair to say?
True, but even more currently, political correctness, which you were talking about with the gay lesbian community and don't ask, don't tell, and those kind of things, that is all about being politically correct. That's all it is. I mean, there is nothing that makes sense about removing don't ask, don't tell in the military that's lived with it in the right way. We didn't worry about it. Everybody did the right thing. But what's going to happen when you live next door to somebody and your kids go out in the front yard to play and they look next door and it's two gay guys or two lesbians, and they're out in the front yard holding hands, kissing, and hugging. And how's that going to feel for you about your kids, seeing that happening? That's all about political correctness, and that's not about reality of the way we should be living our lives.
Well, that's also what's brought, why they want to bring women into the military in fighting situations. And we talked to Abe Katzman this last week. Now, people will think, oh, yeah, it's a great thing to mix men and women in the military, especially in tough situations. And I asked Abe, what about the Israeli army? People hold that up as, oh, that's example. He said, we got problems. People don't want to talk about it, but yes, it creates problems. But political correctness, like Chris said, that's what brings this nonsense in. And it's like it has to go above common sense and thinking.
Colonel McKnight, political correctness obviously is a huge threat here. But you mentioned the gay situation in the military. Recently, the statistics have come out that supposedly there have been 26,000 sexual assaults in the military. Now, that's not actually filed cases. There are only about 3,500 filed cases. Nonetheless, this is due to a survey. But I find it remarkable that over half are men who are filing these sexual assault cases. In other words, claiming to be the victim, not claiming, but being the victim in this case. Do you see that policy, the policy to put women in combat positions, the policy to take chaplains away from doing what chaplains do, is all of this undermining the capability of our military to fight a foreign foe?
It's undermining it worse than we can even put in words. It's unbelievable. And, you know, the sexual assault thing, if those numbers are really accurate, which I don't agree with them, being totally accurate, that's awful. But sexual assault, isn't it amazing that's the only word they're using? I will tell you that sexual harassment is what a lot of those are. Right. And that's wrong, too. Don't get me, and I'm not saying it's okay. But there's a big difference than being sexually harassed, you know, by somebody.
Right.
That's right, exactly. Versus
do it again.
Assault.
Yeah, assault.
Okay.
Not for you guys, the women in the
assault implies some sort of physical unwanted contact, whereas you say, like, harassment can be whistling or making a remark, gosh, you look great today,
yeah,
and the woman taking or the person taking it wrong. But, yeah, go ahead.
But see, I've read things where people say that commanders, some of our senators, female senators, have said that we should not let commanders take care of this. We should put it in lawyers' hands. Well, as soon as you tell me you're going to put it in lawyers' hands, I want to throw up, okay?
Right.
But let me tell you what. I was a company commander as a captain, and I had three soldiers involved with a sexual assault of another guy in my unit, okay? Telling me that I, as a commander, cannot deal with that and take care of it, I put all three of those guys in the brig at the prison there at Fort Benning. They went to trial, and two of them were sentenced to 6 years, 6 months, and 6 days at Fort Leavenworth prison.
Right.
Don't tell me I can't get it done as a commander. When you start taking out of commander's hands is when you get a problem, especially when you let lawyers start taking care of it.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. All right, we've got a caller on the line. I want to take the caller, and then we'll get back to another question for Dr. Massachusetts. Larry, thank you for calling. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. stuck on I-4 as usual.
Where have you been? We haven't heard from you for a while.
I've been listening.
Good
deal. Trying to.
We miss you. We miss you, Larry.
All right.
But
all right, you're
every
coming.
Every now and then you say something, I just got a call. And
that was the case.
You guys are talking about women's rights and how the Muslim Sharia law would affect their rights. And here you're talking about women in the military. My daughter-in-law and my son met in the military. When I was on the Nimitz for a Tiger cruise, I talked to a lot of guys. They knew there's gay guys on there for many years, and they don't have any problem with it. But now you're saying you want to take the rights away from my daughter-in-law to be part of the military, and if she wants to go to combat. So what's different than your morals and your religion telling you a woman shouldn't be in there or not? Two gay guys. I mean, you guys are being so hypocritical, I don't know which way to go.
Well, first of all, I think you've read more into it than what we were saying. I'll let Colonel McKnight.
And second of all, we're very proud of their service.
All right, Colonel McKnight,
both of them.
Colonel McKnight, you respond, and then I'll elaborate.
Yeah, Larry, let me. I'll respond to that. If you took it that I, by any chance, was saying that women should not be in our military, that was a misstatement by me, if you think that's what I said.
You did not say that.
Absolutely not. The women have been a key part of the success of the greatest armed forces on the face of the earth, and that is ours, of the armed forces of the United States of America, without a doubt. But I will tell you that if we think we can put them on the front lines to fight side by side with the men up there, and there's not going to be a difference, we're smoking dope. We're out of our mind, because I promise you we can't put them up there side by side. Because I promise you, Larry, if your daughter or my daughter was up there on the front lines and the bad guys want to take a prisoner, who do you think they're going to take first, me or her? They're going to go after her.
Who are the men
going
to rescue
first? We don't need that. And do you think that she can carry me out of combat if I'm totally incapable of getting out because I'm wounded so bad? Can she pick me up, put me over her shoulder, and carry me out with all of my gear? No, she cannot. I believe they have a place, and I am glad she's serving our country.
I know some women that are more of a man than, let's say, Larry will ever be, and they could carry all three of you out. But
I'm pretty tough.
You're taking away from women's rights by saying that, because if they want to serve and they want to be put in that position and they are the ones kidnapped,
If they can meet the standards.
Well, you have to understand, military isn't run that way, you know. But first of all, it was not Colonel McKnight who made any reference to women in fighting units. I did. I sort of went through a litany of things here. And
right.
my point was
about two men kissing in the front yard. I don't see two women kissing in the front yard, or even two wife and a husband kiss very often. I don't want to really see anybody kiss in public.
Well,
but that statement alone tells me this guy, he has his own religious bigotry, and he's defending his religion and his right.
Which one? Yeah, I'm a Christian, and I do believe that way. I have a certain belief in, by being a Christian. You are correct about that.
All right. Hey, Larry, I appreciate you calling. But first of all, we're not objecting to women serving in the military. We are objecting to women being in ground, frontline, special ops troops, forces.
It has never worked.
What they do in the Navy, what they do now in the Air Force, we have no problem with that. And as far as the sexual harassment thing, what the point I was trying to make is that when you, as Lair's mom puts it, when you put the flint with
the
fuel,
put the flint in one drawer, the fuel in the other, you'll never strike up much of a fire.
The reverse is, if you put them together, you will. All right, so Larry, thank you for calling. I want to take two other calls, and please be brief and to the point, because I've still got a couple of questions for Dr. Massachusetts. Eva, your call, please. Excuse me. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm about to explode. So
I figured.
Thank you, Colonel McKnight, and thank you, the guy that's a professor of Islam.
Dr. Jonathan,
for waking us up. But I want to tell you something. That, was it Rick?
Larry.
He's the reason he's politically correct. He's been brainwashed by these women like Hillary Clinton. And you see where that got us, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready to ask Dr. Massachusetts about the sort of the equality or the bigotry he was talking about there.
Let me tell you something. I can tell you right now, this election coming up will be won by women, and it's going to be the fight between women like me and women like Hillary. And women like Hillary is just like that last caller. She's politically correct, and what that means, they don't have no backbone.
All right. Thank you very much, Eva. We appreciate you being out there, and keep that feisty spirit alive. Okay, now let's go to Diane. Diane, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Larry's off his rocker.
Thank you. The other Larry, not Lair, but Larry.
Well, I think he was just reading into it more than what we were saying and what we were the points that
yeah,
we were trying to make.
An agenda, I think.
Well, that's true, maybe. Yeah.
I've spent time in the military, and I have several friends still in the military, women, and back to World War II, and none of them agree with this women being on the front lines crap. It puts our men in danger.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Diane, thank you for saying that. I wasn't trying to say anything about women in the military. They need to be there. They are there. But we still need to be aware of where we put them. And when they say they're going to send them to Ranger School and stuff like that, when they can meet the same standards that I met, I'm okay with it. But guess what? They're going to have to change the standards, and you know it, and I know it.
I felt guilty when I was overseas when they said they had to pull all the women out first if there was a problem in Korea. I felt really guilty. And if these women really cared about the country and the people that they were serving, they would feel the same way and they wouldn't want to do this.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate
Great
your
call.
Observations. Thank you so very much. Okay. Dr. Matusitz, is it fair to say that our remarks here about Islam in any way compare to the Christian belief about women? In other words, are raising objections as to positions that women may hold in the military, is that tantamount to Sharia law and how it treats women?
Not at all. I think Colonel McKnight was trying just actually to save the lives of both men and women in the military. But our position vis-a-vis Sharia is based on facts. So there are two different spheres. There's no comparison between our conversation here about gays and lesbians and women in the military and our resistance to Sharia.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when we come back from the break, we've got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'd like you to respond to something that you point out in your DVD, Women in Islam, where you talk about there is equality and there is equity and what the difference of that is. And by the way, folks, Colonel McKnight, one of the reasons why we have him on the show is he's an expert in the efficiency and the fighting nature of our armed forces. And he understands the ins and outs of what it means to be on a battlefield. He was not only a commander of a Ranger battalion, but he took that Ranger battalion into combat in Somalia. The man knows what he's talking about.
That's right. We are the American adversaries. Folks, I got to wonder, has it ever been a situation in history that men and women fought together in an effective fighting force? We'll find out about that later.
From his beautiful seaside hometown of Positano, Italy, Chef Pasquale Barber brings his exclusive family recipes to Central Florida and Cafe Positano. Whether you're looking for true Italian pizza and calzone or their mouth-watering special dishes and elegant dining at an affordable price, let Cafe Positano show you why food is not a business, but a passion. Cafe Positano is 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. Call 407-774-8080. Pasquale?
I want to thank you everybody to come to Cafe Positano.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary.
That's right, folks. We only have a few minutes left in this segment. Larry Adams, Christopher Hart with a studio full of people. We're going to go to our one of our special guests. Of course, Colonel Danny McKnight is here, but also Professor John Matusitz. And Professor Matusitz, Chris, right before the break, he brought up the question, what's the difference in Sharia law with equality and equity with women?
Very good question. Let me define both terms first. Equality has to do with fairness, justice, putting people on the same pedestal. Equity means you owe me. So in Sharia, gender relations are not so much about equality as they are about equity, which means that the Muslim husband would tell his wife, well, you owe me. See, I'm the breadwinner, and I'm the protector, and you owe me. So that's why you need to allow me to have three other wives and just 16 children.
And to be subservient. And
right, and to practice FGM, female genital mutilation. That's not equality, it's equity, which means you owe me.
You see, the point we're trying to make to Larry, and he's called back to say that we've lost him as a listener. I hope he's still out there because he needs to hear this. The point that we're trying to make is that...
And we never did try to do
this,
Larry.
We value women. Islam does not value women. Islam sees women as second-class, second-rate citizens. Am I correct?
Yes, especially under Sharia, under Islamic law.
And to go to Colonel McKnight's point, we value women on the battlefield. We don't want them there. We do want to protect them. It's important to us.
Well, we understand that putting women in certain positions can actually make things worse, not better, for everybody concerned. Having said that, real quickly, last question, Colonel McKnight. What do you think about Susan Rice being promoted from being the liar-in-chief, I mean the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., to being President Obama's security advisor? Do you think that this sends a strong signal to Islamic terrorists around the world?
Oh, it sends them a very strong signal. We've got somebody that's now the national security advisor who did basically nothing at the UN, in the U.N. for us. She couldn't even get approved as Secretary of State. I guess we're just trying to find a job that she can do sooner or later, but we ain't going to find one. And it wasn't that interesting. She's appointed. She didn't have to get approved by anybody except the president. No, it sent a signal, all right. A weakening, another weakness has now appeared.
And not only that, but she will not have to be testify where she'd be called in front of Congress. Obama can exert his executive privilege.
That's correct.
Real quickly for both of you, do you think that President Obama is going to do anything? We just heard the news that the administration is now saying Assad has used chemical weapons in Syria. First to you, Colonel McKnight, is the Obama administration likely to do anything about it? And to you, Dr. Matusitz, what's the implication if they don't?
Do I think he's likely to do anything about it? I think he's probably going to use the rhetoric that he usually does, but I think there will be little to no important real action taken.
Is it important for him to do something now that he's made this threat, and if he doesn't follow it up?
There's no telling, because he took us to Libya without asking Congress. So with Obama, there's no telling. And like you said, Colonel McKnight, it's all about discourse and prompter reading.
With when it comes to President Obama.
Oh, come on, you guys. Now, think about it. He's really put that hand out there. He sent jets to Egypt, didn't he?
Yeah, by the way, folks, you can hear Dr. Yeah. Matusitz speaking tomorrow at Tommy Addison's. That's at 11:30 a.m., and that's for the Women's Republican Club. And Tommy Addison's is on South Orange Avenue between Michigan and Holden. And I'm sorry, but we're just out of time today, and today's show went especially fast. I want to thank you, Dr. Matusitz, for joining us. And Dr. Matusitz is a professor of communications at UCF.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Larry. I want to come back.
And you will.
You haven't lost me as a listener.
Oh, thank God for that.
Or speaker, good.
Colonel McKnight, the author of the book "Streets of Mogadishu." Streets of Mogadishu. You can find it on Amazon, or just go to Danny McKnight. That's with a K. .com, and you can order the book there. Thank you, Colonel McKnight, for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Matusitz.
All right, folks. American Adversaries. Put another one in the can. Have a great evening.
Night, everybody.